Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It's just about 309 here, 81 degrees and sunny outside. Wrap it up, get your asses outside and enjoy that sunshine. It's one of those kind of days. Play hooky, leave a little early. Get outside. Do your work outside. Say, I'm going to answer some emails from my phone outside. Get some sun. My doctor tells me that I'm going to need a little vitamin D, and it's time to get some. So, how's everyone doing on this Thursday, April 24th, 2025? Weekend's almost over. We'll get through today, no problem. If you're going to be up at the Lackawanna County GOP Spring Awards dinner tonight at Glenmore Country Club. I will see you up there. Be emceeing that later this evening. It's going to be a good time. It's always a good time. So hopefully, if you're there, come up and say hello. So these wildfires that have been really causing havoc, they have taken out a commercial establishment. There are several homes and other commercial establishments that are on the cusp of being affected. Well, a 19-year-old, Joseph Kling, has been accused of sparking that massive New Jersey wildfire, and he's been charged with arson. 19-year-old man has been charged with arson for allegedly sparking the massive wildfire in New Jersey Pine Barrens that torched 15,000 acres so far. Joseph Kling of Ocean Township, that's where this fire is, so it's his home area, allegedly started a bonfire in the vast Forked River Mountain wilderness area with wooden pallets that exploded out of control when he did not properly put it out, according to the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office. Kling was taken into custody at Ocean Township Police Headquarters and taken to Ocean County Jail, where he's awaiting a detention hearing. Again, only 19 years old, his life is ruined. Column of smoke that was first spotted from the Cedar Bridge Fire Tower in Barnett Township around 9:45 a.m. Tuesday. That fire quickly spread out of control, forcing an evacuation of 5,000 residents of Ocean and Lacey townships. As of Thursday morning, the fire had scorched roughly 15,000 acres, 23 square miles, or slightly larger than the island of Manhattan in New York, and destroyed at least one commercial building. The wildfire is currently 50% contained, with 12 structures that are currently threatened, according to the latest update from the New Jersey Fire Service. Now, this was from earlier today. I do not have any changes to that. But yesterday it was 13,000 acres. It's 15 now. The good part is there. The winds are, even though it's warm and dry, the winds have been helping firefighters by lessening. But the good part there is 35% contained yesterday, 50% contained today. So that's a good sign. No injuries have been reported just yet, and all evacuation orders have been lifted. Massive blaze, one of the largest wildfires in the Garden State in decades, prompted an air quality advisory for New York City, Long Island, Westchester, Rockland counties through Thursday. Officials estimate the fire might not be completely extinguished till at least Saturday. That's not a bad timeline considering the size of this fire. I did also see, and actually I know for a fact because I spoke to someone down there, the smoke from this is also headed south due to the north, the winds out of the north, all the way down to Norfolk and Virginia Beach. It smells like wildfire. Now, they've had a couple of fires their own to the west of them, but if you look at a satellite map, you can clearly see the smoke from the New Jersey wildfires headed down there, affecting their air quality as well. So that just goes to show you how prevalent this is. It shouldn't affect us because our winds are going the opposite direction. But, this individual is going to be in for a rude awakening and a lot of trouble. Really doesn't get into the details. Intent should have a lot to do with this. Regardless, negligence will be a factor. But if there was any sort of intent to start this fire, to start it bigger than it was, or not just an accident or mistake or just being a dumb 19-year-old, there's a lot more. I mean, I've heard as much as life in prison. And again, depending on the intent and depending on the motive here, if it was simply accidental, yes, he needs to be punished. He needs to be punished extensively. But life would be a little bit harsh in that case. But if there's any sort of intent, if this was willfully started to cause this sort of damage, well, then you may have created your own bed and you need to lie in it. So, you know, we'll see, and we're going to continue to track this as we move through the week. Hopefully it is. Every day we talk about it, it's further and further under control with no further damages, and it continues that no injuries or loss of life. That could be the best case scenario here. One of the other things that grabbed my attention is John Fetterman, our sentiment, urges the Trump administration to bomb Iran's nuke. I really can't say what he said, but he said, waste that stuff. And he didn't say stuff. So you can use your own imagination on what he truly said. Senator John Fetterman urged the Trump administration to cease all nuclear talks with Iran and bomb the country's weapons facility instead, urging the commander-in-chief to waste them. The nuclear facilities, not the Iranians. The Pennsylvania Democrat insisted that additional negotiations are pointless as the Trump administration plans to meet with Iranian officials for a third time Saturday to reach a deal that would dismantle the country's nuclear programs and avoid potential military conflict. Again, waste that stuff, Fetterman told the Washington Free Beacon on Wednesday. You're never going to be able to negotiate with the kind of regime that has been destabilizing the region for decades already. And now we have an incredible window, I believe, to do that, to strike and destroy Iran's nuclear facilities. Fetterman brushed off warnings from foreign policy experts who believe a military strike could unleash a regional war, calling the so-called experts wrong. Imagine that, John Fetterman calling the so-called experts wrong. You know, they've been saying for years and years, Hezbollah has been the ultimate badass that keeps Israel in check. And we can't move or anything beyond that, he added. Fetterman pressed that the Iranian proxy group couldn't fight for, again, that S word. And Hamas literally are just a bunch of tunnel rats with junky rockets in the back of a Toyota truck. And now the Houthis have been effectively neutered as well. So what's left? You have Iran, and they have a nuclear facility that's clearly only for weapons. Trump, who withdrew from the U.S. from the 2015 nuclear pact designed to prevent Tehran from developing nuclear weapons during his first term in 2018, has threatened to attack Iran unless the deal is swiftly reached to eliminate the country's nuclear enrichment. Now, this conversation has been going on at the highest levels. We have mobilized a great number of assets to that reason, to that region, just in case. We currently have the largest forward deployment of B-2 bombers that we've had in history. And that's concerning. Is it a show of force? Because we've let it be known that that's happened as well. We also have two strike carrier groups there, the Harry S. Truman and the Carl Vinson, both extremely capable on their own to handle that entire region together. There's nothing that's off the table. So there are the assets in place, and we've heard leaks that Israel wanted this to happen and the Trump administration had talked them down from striking the nuclear facilities within Iran. But you also have to take into consideration that the Houthi rebels, Hamas, Hezbollah, are all back, funded, given their technology by Iran. We've continued to deal with them. Now, we've struck them extremely hard over the past 30 to 60 days, especially the Houthi rebels, where we're having ongoing. We don't read about it in the papers here, and you should ask your papers and your mainstream media why. If you follow any of these ships or their battle groups or their commanders, they are posting about it on a daily basis. CENTCOM, which is the military region in charge of the Middle East, has been posting on a daily basis that there are daily strikes. We are sending combat missions to these areas to strike these terrorists on a daily basis, every day. But we don't hear about it. it continues, and they're continuing to fire back. So how long could this go on, this back and forth, until we take it to a next level, take it to a next step? It's interesting that John Fetterman is a leading Democrat in the charge to just, hey, let's just deal with this once and for all. We did see a few months ago where Israel did strike Iran's air defense capabilities in some strategic locations, specifically not targeting their nuclear facilities, but they did incapacitate Iran's air defense systems almost in total. Our aircraft basically fly unfettered in that area, so it's not like something we couldn't do. Does it open up another can of worms, especially when you have Vladimir Putin and Ukraine talking about tactical nuclear weapons? Does that open the door for him to use them in that war? We have to look at this as America on a global scale. If we strike Iran's nuclear facilities and take them out, there will obviously be nuclear fallout for that region. There will obviously be repercussions for that those attacks with the environment and for that entire area. That being said, a lot of it is underground. Could it be contained? From the experts I talked to, yes, it could be. A lot of this is deep underground, and if they strike it properly and can get to it, it would remain there. Now, that doesn't mean that it's all going to be, you know, all perfect with a bow wrapped around it, but does that strike open up avenues for Russia, where we've seen America, the Trump administration, urging the Russians and the Ukrainians to come to some sort of agreement, and just as that's going on, you have Vladimir Putin striking Kyiv in Ukraine, upping the ante, getting a strongly worded warning from the White House today. Where does it lead? So we'll have to maintain this. Special Presidential Envoy Steve Witkoff is attempting to set up the framework for negotiations with Iranian Foreign Minister and his delegation through talks planned for Saturday, 1 week after Washington and Tehran kicked off their indirect discussions in Oman. Both countries reportedly spoke highly of the meeting as they worked to reach Trump's objective peacefully. Today, I can understand why Trump would negotiate with the diseased regime. The negotiations should be compromised of 30,000-pound bombs and the IDF. This is coming from Fetterman, John Fetterman. So something else we're going to have to watch. How these talks come through on Saturday is something I'm going to monitor. I think it's something, if you have children or family in the military, something you should be monitoring. Because if these fall apart, there is a very real possibility that we're going to wake up one morning and find out that we just struck Iran. And it opens up another door in American conflict for our future generations. If it stays there, there will obviously be some sort of retaliation on Iran's part. How much of that and how great that is, we'll have to see. But we did see after Israel struck their air defense systems, they shot a few hundred missiles that really didn't do anything. So is that the saber rattling that we're to expect, or will it be more than that? That's the if that makes this all a little scary. So it's 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. We're back here. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. I know that when you're listening to the radio, you're in the car, sometimes you're doing other things. But I get a text message. How does MAGA take themselves seriously? Trump campaigned on no wars, America first, etc. Now we're talking tactical nukes? I said, no one was talking tactical nukes. The discussion is targeting Iran's nuclear facilities, and John Fetterman is leading that option. And again, not with nuclear weapons, but striking their nuclear facilities. We have something really good coming on in our area here, a Rescuing the Rescuer Walk. Individual is walking from Wilkes-Barre to New York City to bring awareness to suicide amongst first responders. A 150-mile walk aimed at helping raise mental health awareness and prevent first responder suicides got underway yesterday morning in Wilkes-Barre. Christian Avancho, co-founder of Mayday Ministries, set out from the Toyota Sportsplex on Cole Street in his Rescuing the Rescuer walk, with the final destination in New York City Fire Department's Engine Company 10 Ladder Company, where he hopes to reach it by May 6th. Along the way, he plans on stopping at multiple fire, police, EMS stations to interact with other first responders, their families, and the communities in which they live and serve. This is a great endeavor here. Wearing firefighter turnout gear, he headed up Route 309, and his first stop was the Mountaintop Hose Company No. 1 at noon on Wednesday. He's expected to reach the Whitehaven Fire Department by Wednesday evening. Along the way, he planned to stop at Mountaintop Christian Academy to read to the students there. Founded by Evancho and his wife, Melissa, in 2021, the goal of May Day Ministries, Evancho explained, is to provide aid, comfort, and help to first responders and their families by providing counseling to help them through such things as depression, grief, crisis, trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder. The 35-year-old, as well as his wife, Melissa, are members of the Albrightsville Volunteer Fire Company, Carbon County, where he serves as its chaplain. Mental health issues have come more to light recently, he stated. But for the first responders, it's often difficult. They don't always reach out for help. It seems as a stigma. It may be because of pride, fear of ridicule, or how they might affect their career, he added. Evancho explained that by not reaching out for help with the things they see day in and day out, first responders often turn to unhealthy coping mechanisms, and so oftentimes suicide. It can be heartbreaking, he offered. We created May Day Ministries to provide aid, comfort, and support for our first responders and their families. We are also there for the community, he noted. He emphasized that addressing mental health challenges proactively is crucial for the well-being of first responders and their families. He shared the importance of creating safe spaces for individuals to talk about their struggle without fear of judgment or repercussions. Our mission is to break down those barriers and provide a network of support, he said. I truly applaud this. I truly do. And it's up to other first responders. It's up to us. It's up to me. It's up to people like you out there, other first responders, police officers, both current and retired, firefighters, both current, retired, paid, volunteer, EMS workers, trauma surgeons, trauma nurses, all see a lot of things that shake their core. And it's up to us to reach out to our peers, to our buddies, our friends, our partners, and say, hey, are you okay? Hey, you need to talk. I cannot count the amount of times in a week that I'm checking in on buddies who were in the military, who were in first responders, who were police officers, who were firefighters, who are medical personnel that deal with some pretty outrageous things. My daughter, she's a pediatric psychiatric nurse. That's weighs heavy. And a lot of things specifically, obviously, she can't talk to me about, just like there's a lot of things of people in the military can't talk about, but they can talk about their issues. We're not looking for specifics of what they dealt with or what they...
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Here, how it affected them is our discussion. And it is up to us, not putting the burden on the person who's feeling this, who doesn't know how to cope with it right then and there. And listen, I've talked about it many times. One of the homicides that I had was a young child who was accidentally shot by his father, who was a correction officer, in front of their mother. Thought it was a superficial wound to the arm. It turned out it entered the chest cavity. It got more obviously critical at that point. We were able to get the child to the hospital and then stabilize him, but in a few hours took a turn for the worst and did pass at the hospital, I think in about 5 hours. And because I was the assigned detective, I was there at the scene when it happened. I was there when we took the child out of the home, put him in a police car, and rushed him to the nearest trauma center, along with the mother. Then the case afterwards, dealing with this to determine, you know, was this truly an accident? Was there criminal negligence? Was there something going on here? Attending that autopsy was something else. The child was exactly the same age as my son, looked just like my son. And, you know, went through the autopsy like we do as professionals, dealt with everything, documented everything I need to document, dealt with the technicians, the coroner, the doctors that were there, the forensic doctors to get their information, retrieve the bullet as evidence to voucher. Got a few blocks away and pulled over, and that was it. You know, broke down. And I let it out. Talked to my wife about it when I got home. Broke down again. Talked to friends of mine that I know have been through the same thing. And worked through it. But we are still only human. And dealing with these things sometimes take a toll. And that tolls build up. How many times? I say, and again, it goes for everyone I just named. Nurses, trauma doctors, people in the mental health field, first responders, our military. There is no way you go through 20 years of seeing everything they see and come out the other end normal. It affects you in one way or another, sometimes in a lot of different ways. Some ways we recognize, some ways we don't, some ways we refuse to recognize. We refuse to show our weaknesses, our vulnerability. My advice is find someone who you could be vulnerable with. You are married to your best friend. You are married to your significant other because you can be vulnerable with them. Be vulnerable with them. You have best friends, close working associates that you can be vulnerable around. Be vulnerable. It's better for you. It's better for your family. It's better for your career. It's better for everything around you. You can't hold it all in. It's impossible to hold it all in. Sooner or later, it will catch up with you. So I applaud this man in doing this and bringing awareness to it. And maybe down the in the future, we can get him in here, Christian Evancho, to discuss about his journey. And we could talk more about this to make it more comfortable conversation for anybody. And if there's any first responder out there or anyone I just discussed that is having a hard time that wants to talk, reach out to me. Reach out to me and we can have a conversation. Most of all, I'll listen. And then we can discuss, you know, how we get you past that. It's 3:34 here at WILK. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 81 degrees outside. Get outside. Put your ear pods in. Get out and listen to us outside. Get some sun on you. Got a text message in, Rob. Don't forget about the much overlooked correctional staff. They see many of the things first responders and police see. Listen, correction officers, our sheriffs, everybody is under my first responder umbrella. So, you know, I hope I'm clear on that. So, no difference there as far as when I discuss first responders. They are definitely part of that umbrella as far as I'm concerned. Got another text message. Rob, my son is 21 years old, junior at Penn State. Do you think there's any chance if we get into a new conflict, he would be called upon for action? If he's not serving, I do think any major world conflict will necessitate a draft. If we get into a war with China, if we get into a war with Russia, North Korea, I do think they would need to lean on a draft to refill our ranks because you know our men and women in our military will unfortunately die in a conflict like that. Hopefully not in large numbers, but it is possible. And they would need to be replaced. Something with, like, let's say, Iran, I don't think a draft would be necessary. So if that's what it's discussing, it won't. If your son, who's 21, is in the reserves or in the military, you know, maybe not in a combat zone right now. Listen, if you're in the military, you're always open. We've seen that with the last Middle East wars where our reserves and our National Guards did a lot of frontline work and still do when it comes to that. So because of those shortages that we do have, even though we're meeting recruitment goals again, finally, any major conflict will unfortunately result in a loss of life, and that will need to be replaced in order to field a military in the field of battle. So not a pleasant discussion, but it is the reality, having two people serving in my own family, my children, I am ultimately aware of that. So a Cape Cod town, Cape Cod, mysteriously vandalized with nearly 500 point-up nails embedded in the roads. I wonder who in which department had to count that to get to that 500. I really hope that's an estimate or some poor new rookie was not assigned to count these nails. But looking at the pictures of this, actually they have an exact amount. At least 478 nails were recovered spread across four Falmouth roads early this week, according to the police department. Now, these nails were melted into the asphalt facing up like a spike strip across several of the roads, in some driveways, put up against people's tires where their cars were in their driveways or on the street. They do not know. They're looking into security footage, asking the public for their home security footage to see if they can get an inkling to who the culprit might be. They're really stumped. Was this some sort of high school act of vandalism? They were found around 2 a.m. by an officer on patrol who found even more littered across nearby sidewalks and spread up driveways and even propped beneath tires of parked cars. The photos shared with the department showed dozens of nails with their heads pressed or melted deliberately into the tar patches across the road to points posted skyward to puncture tires, ready to impale tires of passing cars. Now, there is no report of any cars being affected in this report anyway. I've heard of mailboxes getting smashed, but never nails being left in the road, one of the neighbors told NBC Boston. Hartford was woken at 2:30 a.m. by a knock at the door by police who said her driveway had been found peppered with nails. They told me they saw nails in my driveway and up the street and surrounded my car, she added. Police rushed, removed the nails to sweep them up, while neighbor Rick Murphy pitched in with a large magnet to skewer the grass near the roadways for any that were missed. Drag back and forth to the road to see if they created an awful accident. Car gets a blowout, goes off the road, hits a tree or a pole, or God forbid a child. This could be a lot worse. Cops are still working to find the culprit behind the incident, but the locals were quick to offer ideas. My first suspect would be the local tire salesman, one man wrote on the Falmouth Police Department's Facebook page. Kids with nothing better to do, another theorized. Police are asking for the public information again for all their home footage. This is dangerous. I mean, you think it could just be a minor prank, but no, not at all. This is taking people's lives into your hand, nonetheless causing thousands of dollars in damages for some vehicles. It's 3:45 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. We've got the Bloomberg Money Minute coming up in just a little bit. I just got an email press release from U.S. Fleet Forces. It says Fleet Week New York returns to New York City on May 21st through the 27th, 2025, with two U.S. Navy ships, two Coast Guard cutters, and five U.S. Navy Academy Yard patrol boats. Additionally, our Canadian neighbor will be joining the week-long celebration. So if you're looking for something to do around Memorial Day, May 21st to the 27th, you'll have two U.S. Navy ships, two Coast Guard cutters, five U.S. Navy Academy Yard patrol boats. They are incredible. Those Navy Yard patrol boats, they'll hold 100 people. I believe they're 43 feet in length. And they're 100 and something, 128 feet in length. They look like mini destroyers. They don't have guns, obviously, but it's a good time to learn and train. It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I'm already getting yelled at from some high-ranking Navy officials that listen to my show that say I should know what a Naval Academy Yard patrol boat is classified as. Well, yes, the 703 class YP boats are 119 feet in length overall. They hold a crew of four officers, a crew of six, so a crew of 10 altogether, and they can hold 30 midshipmen. And while they're training, the midshipmen rotate through different positions and basically learn on a small scale how life on a ship, how to operate a ship, how to navigate, damage control, and everything else. During the summer training, they usually take those boats to Baltimore, up to New York, up to Cape Cod, Boston, and then back again. It's usually about a month, a three-week trip that they take, and where they learn their and apply their seamanship, you know, running the helm, running navigation, running all different aspects of the ship. So five of them will be, and they usually travel in groups of anywhere from three to five when they go to these destinations. It's I got some funny stories about that. As a matter of fact, we'll tell you about it. My son, this was right after his freshman in – well, his plebe, that's freshman into his youngster year. That would be a freshman into a sophomore year that summer. So he was – just got done with his first year, and he was on the YP boat cruise. And they went to Baltimore Harbor, and they spend a couple days there. And then they go up to New York. They spend a couple days there, and then they go up to Boston, and they spend a couple days there. And the other days are at sea, you know, learning – to operate and navigate the ships. And again, these aren't small ships. They're 120 feet long. They look like, they're mini Navy ships. So when he docked in New York, the three YP boats, YP patrol boats, when he got to New York, they park right next to the USS. They moor right next to the USS Intrepid on the west side there. A friend of mine who was the sergeant of the mounted unit rides his horse out onto the dock because he can do that because it's a tourist area and comes up to the boat. And the lieutenant who was in charge of the ship, he's the commanding officer of the YP boat, comes up and he says, do you have an O'Donnell on board? And he said, yeah, hang on. And he goes downstairs and he goes up to my son and he says, what did you do in Baltimore? And my son's like, what are you talking about, sir? I don't understand. He's like, did you do anything in Baltimore? Did you get in trouble? Was there any interactions with the law? What happened? And he's panicking, this lieutenant, because they just got to New York. It's usually a very relaxed time for them once they pull into their ports. And he says, no, I didn't do anything. Why? And he says, the NYPD's here upstairs looking for you. And my son laughs, and he's like, this isn't funny. What's going on? And, you know, this we're going to have to notify the chain of command. And he says, it's my dad. And he says, what do you mean? He goes, my dad was in the NYPD. And, you know, I'm sure it's someone he knows. So they go up, and that was the case. And the lieutenant takes a big sigh of relief. They all take pictures with the mounted patrol cops. There were three of them out there. And get their pictures taken. So they spend a couple of days in New York, and my son was from New York originally, so he's taking, like, he was the tour guide for a lot of them. They get back on the ship and they head up to Boston. And when they go to Boston, they're mooring in the Coast Guard base that's in Boston. And it's a very active Coast Guard base. It's a very large Coast Guard base. Well, it turned out my brother, who's an executive up in Boston, was very good friends with the admiral who runs that command, the entire northeast region of the Coast Guard. So the boats pull in to the Coast Guard station. They, you know, they're tying up. They're getting ready. They're getting their whites. They come off the boat. And here comes this, I think it was a two-star admiral, comes walking up. And this lieutenant's like, oh, usually, you know, on these big kind of trips, you don't see, you know, an admiral. Admiral comes up and says, do you have an O'Donnell on the boat? And the lieutenant smiles and shakes his head and says, yeah, I guess we do, and goes downstairs. And he says, who don't you know here? What's going on? So he says, this one I don't know anything about, so I don't know. He goes up and she introduces himself, says, I'm a friend of your uncle. And my uncle and his uncle happened to be there. My brother happened to be there, just wasn't out on the dock, was in more towards. So when they come up, my brother hands them all tickets to the Boston Red Sox game. And by all, I mean each ship has 25 midshipmen on and a crew of five officers. So times that, times three, and, you know, 100-something tickets to the Boston Red Sox game. So basically it was the lieutenant told my son, hey, you got leave. This is the time we're leaving. Just be here. You know, you're all good. Thanks for the tickets. And that was the story of the YP boats going up to but every summer, starting in a few weeks, starting in 3 weeks, zero block training would start. You will see three of these ships. They go to usually Baltimore, and then they'll travel up through into New York Harbor, and they'll dock usually on the west side near the Intrepid. Then they'll head up the East River, past Hell's Gate, the Triborough Bridge, up through the Sound, Long Island Sound, out into the open ocean, which even on a 120-foot small Navy Yard patrol boat, it gets kind of rough from what I'm told. And then up to usually Boston. And that's how they train our newest sailors. And this happens each year with different groups, obviously, to get their seamanship, what they learn in a classroom, what they learn dockside along the Naval Academy. Because these ships, and I believe there's 12 of them, are docked right at the Naval Academy year-round. And they train on them, they practice on them, but then they go out and sea on them. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.